We had a wonderful afternoon. We had around about 50 for the class, and Andy did a fantastic job. He's a man after my own heart. That he started a class, and 30 minutes later, as he took a break, he'd only covered one point. I thought, that's my kind of preacher-teacher right there. Just keep on going, brother. But Andy did a fantastic job of looking in the book of Acts and observing the conversions that are found there and showing us what the Bible shows us was a conversion, what it was to become a child of God in the book of Acts when the apostles were preaching. And, you know, it was a wonderful study, and he laid it out very well, and I appreciate him for doing that. I know he studied hard to make that a reality. Appreciate the comments about marking your Bible. I did have one of the elders tell me that I was going to have to now, from now on, at the beginning of my sermon, show my Bible, and if the section I was going to be teaching on was marked, then I couldn't use my Bible. I had to use one of theirs. Because I did admit that when I'm in the First John, I'm seeing my marks on my Bible, and it's reminding me of things that aren't actually in my lesson, and I'm chasing rabbits, and it tends to go a little longer. So I'll begin to do my Bible check-in every Sunday. But I wanted to spend just a little bit of time and talk about the things that have happened this weekend, some of the things that we've talked about, and some of the things that I've observed and found to be true, and I've learned from our Rise Up weekend over the last few days, beginning last Thursday evening. Last Thursday evening, we sat out on the porch. I do have to give Carol some props, because Carol was the only one brave enough to interrupt me and tell me, hey, it's cold, let us go in. She said that she sat there and she was watching, and Kathy kind of put on her coat, and then Leslie put on his hood, or somebody did, and she said, and then somebody was blowing in their hands, and she said, you know, I just realized we're cold, and he doesn't even seem to be fazed by it. Because we were out on the porch, it was very pretty when we began, but it got kind of, the sun goes down, it gets cooler. But we were enjoying that time, and we did move inside to where it was warm. But what we were studying out there, we were talking about the power of prepared prayer. And, you know, a lot of times we get so busy and we run through life so quickly that our prayers are just like that. We just kind of run through them just as fast as we can. We kind of, you know, put that on our checklist. I said my prayer, but did we really take the time to think about our prayers? And when I talk about prepared prayer, we're not talking about writing out a script for your prayer, but instead preparing to address the things that need to be addressed in prayer better. Taking some time. You know, taking and scheduling a time, maybe once a week, once a month, you know, but scheduling a time where you sit down and you contemplate and you think long and hard about what you need to say to the Creator of the universe. About what you need to say to the God that created you and sent His only begotten Son to die to you. It's not something we should rush through at any time. God does not deserve our rushed through prayers. He deserves to spend time with us. And we should long to spend time with Him and to do so in a manner that's productive and will help us grow spiritually in Jesus Christ. We talked about Psalm 46 and verse 10. To stop striving, or your translation may say, to be still and know that I am God. Too often in our lives we're so very busy that we never stop striving. We never stop and just be still and think about God and realize who He is. We talked about some of us have fallen asleep on God at times. You know, we're saying that prayer after we lay down on our bed. We got nothing else to do, so we're going to say a prayer to God. We fall asleep before we get to the amen, right? It's okay to fall asleep on me. Y'all do it. But let's try not to fall asleep on God, okay? So we need to take time and really seriously think. We talked about praising God. You know, and more than just in just what we do in prayer, but taking our Bibles with us in prayer and reading some of those Psalms that praise God for His greatness and His glories. And really set our minds in that place where we're thinking about who God is and what He is and what He's done and how great He is and how worthy He is of our praise and our adoration. but also it is a time for us as well to catch up on and to be sure about our intercessory prayer. You know, we talk about our sick list. Jim was talking about all the people that we have sick. And, you know, we often talk to people and we say, I'll pray for you. And I believe with all my heart that we say that with the best of intentions. But we have to be careful that that doesn't become a phrase we just use to comfort people that are having difficult times, but that it is a truthful statement that we say and we mean. And, you know, when we take time to be still and think about what we're going to say to God, it gives us time to think about those people that we've said we'd pray for, so that our intercessory prayer will be all that it needs to be. I think every one of us, I think when we asked the question, we talked about the question in our session Thursday night, I asked how many of you have told somebody that you'd pray for them and you never did. And every hand went up, because we all do that. We forget. Why? Because we don't take enough time to think about what we're praying to God. And so we talked about intercessory prayer. We talked about the power of prepared prayer and confession. You know, so many times our confession of our sins in our lives equates to little more than, oops, God, I'm sorry. God says, confess your sins. You know, we need to take time to sit, look in our hearts, pray to God to search me if there be any evil in me, as the psalmist said. And find that, Lord, that I might destroy. You know, we need to stop and we need to really look at our lives and write some things down that we need to confess before God. Things that we need to confess that we're not doing as we should. And ask God to help us. See, we're going to have to take a little time with that, aren't we? So often we're so fast and we're so furious that we forget the things that we've done and that we need to bring to God. Also, it is a great time of thanksgiving. You know, a time to count your many blessings, to name them one by one, sit down and make that list too, so that you're prepared for prayer. And that's what we talked about, and then we tried to practice those things the next morning, on Friday morning. We set forth to spend some time either that night or that morning and practice some of these things that we talked about, and then we came back together just before lunch on Friday, and we talked about some insights that we gained from that. You know, the thing that I found most encouraging, I mean, everybody had certain insights and they were all wonderful and they were all things that drive us to better growth. But I loved what our teenagers that were there said. You know, me and Jenny had to run to town to get some stuff for the retreat Friday morning. But as we drove out, I saw one teen down at the little amphitheater place with his Bible early in the morning, sitting there reading. One was on the slide, all by themselves, reading. Another was over here. They were out there, and they were reading their Bibles and contemplating and thinking about what they needed to bring before God. And I was so, so impressed. And their words were that it helped me to focus. It helped to quieten the world and give me time to think about God. And that's the point, to be still and know that I am God. You know, if nothing else happened this weekend, I feel that it's a success just seeing what I saw as we left that morning to run to town and come back, see those kids working hard to think about God and what He wants for them in their lives and to pray to Him for those things. On Friday night, we took a moment and we had sheets and we were limited to the number of lines on the sheet. I forget how many exact number of lines I had on the sheet. But I asked the people to write down people that you love that are lost. And then Ken Bush took the time to take all those sheets and to lead a prayer and to list every name that was given and put those names before God, that He might help us. You know, I'm so small. You know, the prayer about, oh Lord, your ocean's so large and I have such a small boat. I'm so small, we need help. We need help to reach the people we love. We need God's help. We need Him to open doors of opportunity. We need Him to, at times, put stumbling blocks before our loved ones, that they might, like the prodigal son, kind of meet opposition to the point that they'll say, you know, I need to go home. Or I need to find another way in life. God's providence is the best way to see those things take place. But yet oftentimes we don't receive because we don't ask, because we don't seek, because we don't knock, as God has wanted us to do, has called for us to do. But we had, out of 35 people that were there that night, we had 107 names. And when I counted the sheets, I'm not sure that somebody didn't take their sheets back. I'm not even sure all the sheets were still there at that point. But I went and I counted the names. There were 107 names of individuals and families. Sometimes it wasn't just an individual. Sometimes it was this person and their family. So it's 107 plus names out of 35 people. Folks, we don't have to look far and wide to find lost people that we want, that need our help. 35 people came up with 107 names pretty quick. I wonder how much 350 can come up with pretty quick. And let me tell you this too. We get so wrapped up sometimes in we need to bring people to Christ so that there's more numbers on that board back there. Let me tell you, a person saved in South Carolina or a person saved in China, we've fulfilled our purpose to reach out to those people. It doesn't matter to me whether the people we save ever sit in these pews, as long as they sit in a pew somewhere with the family of God. We do not convert people to change the number on that board back there. We bring people to Christ so that the number in heaven will be changed one day. And so, you know, you may as well in your life and in your personal prayer life, I would hope, and I found it very moving. I didn't know a lot of the names, but they stuck out. And, you know, one of the things I even commented on Friday night was I could tell where there were families and children where names would replicate. We'd see names pop back up. And everybody in that family loved those people. Everybody in that family wanted to have that name prayed for. You know, we need to do that in our personal lives. Sit down and think about the people that you love. People that you'd love to see in heaven one day. And pray for them by name. It's easy to do that all-inclusive prayer, and I grant God knows better than we know how to ask. But I still think there's power in calling them by name, putting their name, reminding ourselves as well in prayer how much they need the gospel that we have in our hearts. So I found that very great, and I'm so happy to see people caring and concerned about the lost. Later that night, I went out with the teens by the fire, and we talked about them making a difference today. Not being the church of the future, not waiting someday to make a difference in the Lord's church, but making a difference now, bringing lost souls now. That they are, you know, sometimes we forget the power of our teenagers to effect great change for the gospel, to bring people to the Lord. As I've told you before, and I'm nothing special, but at 14 years old, I was able to bring someone to Christ. Every 14-year-old can bring someone to Christ. They can make a difference. And I was so impressed and I was so blessed in my discussion with them because they began to raise their hands and they began to say, Mr. Adams, I'm talking to this friend. I'm talking to that friend. How do I handle this situation? How do I handle that situation? How do you handle... They are concerned about their friends. They are concerned about the people they know. They want to reach out to them. They want to know how to reach out to them. They want to make a difference. And I was so encouraged to see that they have such a desire to speak to their friends. That's tough. That's tough in every environment, but it's very tough in their environment. And yet they are speaking out. And God bless them for remembering their Creator in the days of their youth. You know, just the power this weekend of studying together. Sitting around the table and sitting in the room in there today, and studying with Christian brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, the great comments and discussions. You know, it never fails that it doesn't matter how much I may study on a particular subject, I've always found people that have a insight that I missed. You know, an insight that I didn't quite see, or they saw a particular part of the verse in a light that I didn't think about. And I grow, even as the teacher. And you know, in our discussions this weekend, we had wonderful discussions. We had a lot of wonderful comments. And it was very much like that, that I grew a great deal personally from the weekend and from the classes that we had and the times that we had of discussing things and talking about things. You know, people were talking about how to be stronger and more spiritual. We talked about how this congregation can be a more spiritual and a more prayerful congregation, and some of the thoughts there were fantastic. And I hope and pray that some of the things we talked about, and some of you that were there know things that I'm just talking about, but I hope they bear fruit, that discussion bears fruit within the very activities of this congregation, so that we can be always moving closer to Jesus Christ and being more of what He has called us to be as His church. You know, at the end of the day, and I really didn't need the retreat to tell me this or our activities today to tell me this, but it has just reinforced what I already knew, and that is we are so blessed to be the family of God here. We are so blessed to be together. And we are so blessed to be surrounded by people in this room and in this church here that are dedicated to wanting to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know, if we continue to encourage one another, work with one another, study with one another, maybe sometimes every now and then nudge one another back on the right path, we will, I believe with all of my heart, make it home. That we will rise up one day to be with Jesus Christ forever. Now that's our goal. Everything else is secondary to getting people to heaven. Getting myself to heaven, getting you to heaven, getting the lost out there that we know, that we love, and those that we don't even know yet, getting them to heaven. Everything is second to those things. That we are to be so focused. That we are to be truly rising up to live for Christ. I hope and pray that we continue to do that. I believe that we will. I have no doubt in my mind. But may we continue to strive and to pray for those things. This evening, if you're not a child of God, it's hard to fully express in any kind of words. You know, Paul talked about that as a Christian, we have joy unspeakable. That there's literally just not words to express how wonderful and great the Christian life is. And I would fail tonight to try to tell you what you're missing. Try to tell you what you don't have if you're not a child of God. But you need that salvation. You need Jesus Christ. You need to come to Him. You need to believe in Him. You need to confess that He is the Son of God. And you need to change your life to live according to the pattern that He left. And you need to be buried in baptism. To rise up from that. To walk a life with Him. And the blessings will be more than you can ever express or be able to properly thank God for. But only if you choose to do so. Jesus Christ looked over the city of Jerusalem. And He cried. And He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How I would have gathered you under my wings like a mother hen gathers her chicks. But the saddest thing is," He says, "but you would not." Jesus Christ wants to gather you under His wings. Will you? If you're a child of God tonight, and you have not been living as you should, and you know you need to be closer to Jesus Christ, you know you need to be praying more, you need to be studying more, you need to be doing more, then make a decision tonight to do it. Come under the wings of Jesus Christ. Don't be out there on your own, but be in Him that you might be saved. We can assist you in that. If we can encourage you with that, we hope and pray that you will let us as we stand and as we sing.